help before it's too late.
But again, we wouldn't budge. We began to discuss it again. Is it permitted to interrupt our learning? What exactly is our mitzvah here? Finally, we agreed that the Torah permitted us to help in such a case. Believe it or not, I think something Itchy the Shikha said finally made an impression on us. We followed him out of the synagogue down a dark, cold street. But we were too late. The horse was lying there, no longer part of this world. So we forgot about it and went back to learn. The next morning, when I came into the Beis Medrash, the other Bochurim told me that Itchy was there earlier looking for me. When I saw him, I went over and asked him what he wanted. He said to me in a very calm way,
"I have a favor to ask of you. I'm going to die tonight, and I'd like you to come to my house to be there for the Yitzias Neshama, when my soul leaves my body."
Now, what did I do? I laughed. But Itchy was very serious, and he asked me again. So I asked him where he lived, since nobody knew. At the end of the city, he told me, on the street on the left, in an abandoned, broken-down shed. So that night, I thought to myself, I have to learn tonight anyway. So I might as well learn by Itchy the Shikir. He was such a mystery, that Itchy. I took my Gemara and went out to find Itchy's place. When I got there, I found him sleeping away. He was probably drunk again, I figured, so I sat down to learn. After a few hours, I got impatient. What do I need it for? What's the Drenman cup for? I'm leaving. But as I began to leave, all of a sudden, I heard Itchy talking to me.
"Don't go. Exactly 4 in the morning, I'm going to die. And I want you to tell the Chevra Kedisha, the Holy Burial Society, to bury me next to the Tzaddik, the Gaon, who's buried in the old cemetery."
I told him, "Itchy, you're really a meshuga. You don't even put on tefillin, and you want to be buried next to the Tzaddik." I guess I hurt his feelings. Because he said,
"What do you mean I don't put on tefillin? Look in that chest over there and you'll find my tefillin."
I went and opened the chest. I was so surprised to see the most beautiful mahudar tefillin. How much they were worth, I had no idea. I really was amazed. I would never have believed it if I didn't see it with my own eyes. So I said to each, "Even if I tell the Chevra Kedisha, they won't listen to me."
"Under the chest is a small box. In it you'll find my manuscript. Show them to the rabbi and the Chevra Kedisha. Then they'll agree to bury me where I request."
I found the notebooks and I began reading. I couldn't believe my own eyes. The deepest Kabbalistic secrets were written on those pages. I didn't even begin to understand them. But it was then that I realized that Itchy the Shikir, lying on his wooden mattress, ready to depart this world, was really one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, a real live hidden tzaddik. Unbelievable. And how we had made fun of him. Oi, oi. And as he promised, at exactly 4 in the morning, he yelled with all of his strength,
"Shema Yisrael!"
And he died. I ran immediately to fetch the Chevra Kedisha and the rabbi. I told them the whole story and showed them the notebooks. But they said there was no place available next to the old tzaddik's grave, so it is impossible to fulfill his last wish. For many years already, they were using the new cemetery because the old one was filled up. Anyway, they agreed to come with me to look if there was any place near the grave of the old tzaddik in the old cemetery. And wouldn't you know, we found a place empty right next to the old tzaddik. I guess nobody was ever holy enough to be buried there.
The whole city heard the story that morning, and there was a very big funeral. I always remembered it, Chia. And I realize now that the sickness in my legs began when I didn't listen to Itch's warnings. That I'd better go help that Jew if I wanted use of my own legs.
The family and guests were crying, and the wedding celebration was quieted for a while until the music began again. When I went home after the wedding that night, I thought a lot about the Rosh Hashiva story, and I decided to write the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita about this Rosh Hashiva, to ask him to pray for him and to bless him to be well again. I soon received a reply from the Rebbe Shlita. I'll read it to you. Tell the Rav to accept upon himself the mandates of the Holy Rebbe Rayatz, the previous Rebbe, to learn every day Chitas, Chumash, Tehillim, and Tanya. And not only he, but all those who love him and accept his rulings should also learn Chitas daily. And in the merit of this walking in the ways of the Holy Rebbe, Hashem Yisborach should give him back his legs to walk, also physically. When I received this letter, I went right over to the house of the Rosh Yeshiva and showed it to him. He was suddenly filled with joy. He was smiling and kissing the letter. I asked him to give me back the letter, since it was addressed to me. But he really wanted to have it, at least for a while, so I agreed. I came back to visit him half a year later, and found him sitting in a chair, already able to use his legs quite a bit. The doctors had given up on the use of those legs, I thought to myself, and now he's almost all cured. Unbelievable! The Rebbe Shlita never ceases to amaze me. And do you know something? The Rosh Yeshiva did his part as well. People have told me that for the rest of his life, the Rosh Yeshiva asked all who came to speak with him to please learn Chitas every day. A man once came before Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi with his 11-year-old son, who was mute. They had been to many doctors over the years, but nothing helped. The Alter Rebbe told the father,
"Travel to Germany, to the town of Mitz, and stay at the house of the Jewish woodchopper who lives next to the hill at the entrance to the city. Stay there until God sends your son a cure."
The man asked,
"But Rebbe, what shall I do in Mitz?"
The Rebbe answered,
"Don't do a thing. Just wander in the marketplace until your salvation comes."
Well, the man didn't have the means to afford such a long journey. But when the Hasidim found out what the Alter Rebbe had prescribed, they immediately collected the money from amongst themselves, with total trust that the Rebbe's words would come true. After a long, hard journey, the man and his son finally arrived in Mitz. As soon as they entered the city, they found the house near the hill. Just as the Rebbe had said, it belonged to the Jewish woodchopper. They asked him if they could stay there, and he readily agreed. Every day the man did as the Rebbe instructed. With his son, he walked around the city's markets, wandering and wondering from where would his salvation come. This went on for quite a few days, with no results. After a while, his woodchopper host asked him,
"Tell me, please, what are you doing here? I see you've been here for a while now, but you don't seem to work. If I may ask, just what is it you're doing here?"
So the man told him his whole story. The woodchopper looked surprised and said,
"How could your Rebbe know about me from so far away?"
But then the woodchopper had an idea.
"I think your Rebbe's intention wasn't that you should meet me, but that you should meet my son-in-law instead. Listen, and I'll tell you about him. There was this young man who would sit in the shul and learn day and night. I had mercy on him and invited him to eat by me. He agreed, but after a few days he said, 'I have one request. I don't want to eat from charity, and since you have a thriving wood business in your courtyard, and you should have a guard watching the wood, build a small shack in the courtyard, and I'll stay there and be the guard.' I agreed, and built him the shack, and he sat there and guarded my wood. Once I awoke in the middle of the night, and saw from my window a fire blazing in the courtyard, on the very spot where that guard's shack sits. I was shocked, because the courtyard is full of wood, and the fire could easily spread. I was furious at the guard, Why, he must have been sleeping and had not noticed the fire. So I ran out in panic to awaken him and put out the fire. But when I got to the courtyard, there was no fire at all. I returned home